Hello everyone, this is Jono. As you may have noticed, this is a slightly unusual introduction to a Bad Voltage episode. Well, that's because this is a special episode of Bad Voltage. Now, most people tend to use the word special to mean something great, something of value, something that you stay up late for, something you put the kids to bed early for. We don't. We tend to use the word special because we couldn't get together to record a show for various reasons. In this case, I'm traveling and we had a few other scheduling conflicts which made this a little bit more difficult. So what we've decided to do is to record a special episode where each of us individually is going to provide some recommendations for gifts over the holiday season. So whether you celebrate Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever else, or whether you don't celebrate anything in any way, we want to provide some recommendations for things that we think are worth getting as gifts for other people or for yourself. We're also going to provide the festive turkey, something that really isn't very good that you should absolutely stay away from. Now, it should be noted that we've deliberately not shared our ideas with each other, so you may hear a few duplicates here. I have no idea, I haven't listened to any of the other guys. So we thought we'd do that because it could be funny. You might get some of the same recommendations, or maybe even the opposites. One of us may say, get this, and someone else may say, don't get this. So there you have it. That's what we're going to be doing for this episode, and then we'll be back to normal in the next one. So, without further ado, I will hand over to our first recommendation.
Hello, listeners. This is Jeremy. And now, my entries into the Bad Voltage Holiday Gift Guide. I'll start out with really anything from the Withings Health or Wellness group of products, and I've reviewed the Smart Body Analyzer and the Aura Smart Sleep System on previous episodes of Bad Voltage, and I do still use and like both. And I also own the Connected Blood Pressure Monitor, although that one I haven't reviewed on the show. Now, some of their newer products, such as the Body Cardio Scale, are a little bit more expensive, but definitely interesting, and it adds some cool features such as pulse wave velocity, water percentage, muscle mass, bone mass, and a couple other things. Like I said, it's a really neat device, although a little bit expensive for a scale. They also make fitness trackers and a variety of other health-related products, which are then all tied together with the HealthMate app. Now, in my opinion, being healthy and well-rested are so critical that there's really no better gift I can think of than giving the gift of wellness. Next up is a Raspberry Pi 3 or a Raspberry Pi Zero, which are $35 and $5 respectively, so should fit into almost any budget. Now, the Pi 3 really is a remarkable little device and adds a better processor, 802.11n Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth LE to a device that was already, in my opinion, a pretty good bargain. The device is suitable for almost anyone, but it's an especially good gift for those interested in the maker movement or those who are interested in doing something cool with Linux. And the Pi Zero is surprisingly powerful for the price point of just $5, and is really great for anyone looking at an embedded project. Now, while I'm on the topic of kind of the maker movement and people that are interested in doing kind of cool things building, one thing I had initially not thought of when coming up with these suggestions, but I just think of now, and that's the Lulzbot Mini 3D Printer. It's a really cool device. It is a little bit spendy at $1,200 or so dollars, so way out of the price point of the Raspberry Pi. But if you're looking for a gift in kind of that higher price point, the Lulzbot Mini is open source hardware, it's open source software, it works with Linux, and I think really anyone in that maker movement would be ecstatic to receive one. Now, last up in the devices that I initially thought up is a drone. And I think consumer drones are finally kind of hitting that sweet spot, hitting that stride, and they're really viable options now across the price spectrum. At the high end, I think the DJI Mavic Pro probably is just the best drone really available to date at this level. It starts at $999, which is a little bit pricey, I'll admit, but it has fully autonomous flight, a 4K stabilized camera, a 4.3 mile range, and almost 30 minutes of flight time, all packed into an outrageously small foldable package. And I mean, this thing has 24 computing cores. It's really quite a device at $999. Now, at the low end, the Cima X5C, which I happen to own, is a great little device. And sure, now here, the camera isn't great, and the flight time's only 7 minutes, but at around $40, it's surprisingly fun, and it can be used indoors, it can be used outdoors, which really makes it a great starter drone, both to learn on and to see if really you want to spend a little bit more money on a second device. As once you know you enjoy using a drone and you're comfortable flying one, there's plenty of options available between the price points of the X5C and the Mavic Pro. Now, we thought it would also be fun to pick one item that we suggested you not give. And the Pixel XL would almost be too easy to suggest here. I suspect maybe some of my co-presenters will pick it. If you're a regular listener to the show, you know we mocked Jono pretty relentlessly in a previous episode for getting one the first day that it came out. And let me clarify here, don't get me wrong, I actually think the Pixel and the Pixel XL both look like really great devices. But at almost $1,000 for the XL, I think its shortcomings do make it a little bit difficult to recommend, even if it's one of the best Android phones currently on the market. But it does bring me to my actual recommendation, and it is kind of tangentially related here. What, in my opinion, you shouldn't get this season is a VR device or virtual reality device. Now, it's not that I don't like VR or that I think VR doesn't have a bright, bright future, because I actually think that it does. It's that I think the current devices available this year are either too expensive, too limited, not quite ready, or like in the case of the Daydream, require the aforementioned Pixel. So if you want a VR device, I think waiting for the next iteration of products will almost certainly get you a much, much better device for less money. And just to take an example, I think the HTC Vive, probably the best device out there currently. So if you are going to buy one, that would be my recommendation. But it's $800. It requires a fairly high-end gaming rig on top of that. Quantities are limited. So it just seems like, like I said, the next iteration of that device will probably be somewhat cheaper. I've heard there's a little bit of glitches in the experience of that, so I'm assuming they'll get rid of that as well. And with some VR standards kind of coming in the pipeline right now, it just seems like holding off to the next iteration of devices, like I said, would be my recommendation. Now, to end on a slightly more positive note, I'm going to give you one more bonus idea here, and that is, if you have someone you're buying a gift for and you can't quite decide, one thing I recommend, go to any of your favorite open source projects, and if they ever have a membership or a t-shirt or anything like that, get them a membership to the FSS, or find a t-shirt for your, you know, your favorite project, and you can help support that project and give a cool open source kind of related gift in the process. And that wraps up my 2016 Bad Voltage Holiday Gift Buying Recommendations.
Hello, this is Stuart, and this is my bit of the Christmas Hanukkah holiday presents guide for Bad Voltage. So we were asked to put together a list of things that you ought to get for Christmas for the techies in your life, perhaps, or just things that you would like yourself, or that you'd like to convince people to buy for you. You've still got 10 or so shopping days till Christmas, so here is what I think. And my first recommendation is the Amazon Fire Stick. Now, this is only really useful if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, right? But I am. And I found it immensely useful. I used to have an Acer Aspire Revo, which was running Kodi under my television in the lounge, and that connected to my micro server, which has a bunch of films, TV on it, that kind of thing, and then played that with Kodi. I also had a PlayStation 3, and we were using the Amazon Prime app on that in order to watch things like The Man in the High Castle and, you know, stupid new Top Gear, which is not very good. And then someone suggested to me, Bill suggested to me, actually, spend 25 quid and buy an Amazon Fire Stick. Now, this is it's a bog standard, you know, single stick computer with an HDMI port on one end and USB power on the other. And it just happens to come from Amazon. But because it was only 25 quid, I thought, you know, buy it on spec, why not? So bought it, plugged it in. It does Amazon Prime, which is great, no problem with that at all. The setup for it was very pleasant. It comes with a very nice little remote control. It's also controllable from your phone, so if you ever lose the remote, you don't find yourself in a position where you can't use it. But more interestingly, it can also play on my local content as well, because I just installed the Plex app on it and Plex Media Server on my server. And then bish bash bosh, done. It's also got, because it's actually Android under the covers, I mean, admittedly, it uses the Amazon App Store rather than the Google Play App Store, but because it's Android under the covers, there are a bunch of apps for various different services. So you can get things like BBC iPlayer, ITV Player, that kind of thing on it. And I found that very useful, because it turns out that after we moved flat, it turned out that I'd never actually bothered to plug the television into the aerial, because I don't watch telly except when elections are on or Doctor Who is on. So When we discovered that, my daughter said, "Why can't I watch television?" And I said, "Oh, it turns out never plugged it in, and the TV's on the opposite side of the room from the aerial. Sorry about that." But all we actually wanted was BBC and Channel 4, at which point we just installed the apps on the Fire Stick, and then done. Everyone's a winner. Après nous, la deluge. So I'd recommend the Amazon Fire Stick. It seems like a very useful thing, not just for you, but for family or for friends, because it's pretty cheap. And if they are Prime subscribers, if they're already using Prime for whatever reason, it's a really nice cable cutting sort of thing to do. I know a bunch of people have been working on loads of other things, but the fact that the Fire Stick will let you install Plex, so therefore you can put anything you like on it, that to me seems like a killer thing. So I'd recommend the Amazon Fire Stick as a present for people. Go for it. My second recommendation is not actually a gift in itself, but it's a way of getting gifts. So this is something you just tell people about. It's a thing called Google Option Rewards. Now, Alan Pope mentioned this to me. I had no idea it existed. It's only available on Android, you know, so screw you, iPhone users. But what it actually does is you fill in, you install the app, and then it asks you to fill in a bunch of surveys. Every now and again, a thing will pop up and say, "Here's a survey," and it will say things like, "Have you in the last 7 days seen any advert on the following topics? Whiskey, skiing, somewhere else," right? And then you say yes or no or whatever, and then it'll ask you another question like, "Which of these are your favourite whiskey brands?" And you pick one, and then it says, "Thank you very much for your survey. Here's 12p of Google credit." Now, obviously, if you're concerned about privacy, if you don't want to give data about your preferences and what you've seen and where you've been and so on like that, if you don't want to give that to Google, then you shouldn't use this, totally, right? But if you're not too worried about that, then it's a convenient way of accruing small amounts of credit, which means that you can then buy Android apps. I mean, you can use it to, you can also use it to buy movies and music and all that kind of thing, but I use it to buy apps because I find it quite useful as a way of buying some app that costs £1 or £2 or something like that. It's quite convenient to say, yeah, I'll do that, or I'll buy that 60p in-app purchase for Score Hero or something, but I haven't actually had to spend any money. I haven't had to teach it about my credit card, all this kind of thing, and that's actually quite useful. So obviously balance up your need for privacy against your need for it, but having this allows you to buy apps, people. It might be a semi-convenient way to explicitly decide to trade off some personal information against money. It's obviously the whole idea of a lot of people's business model is that if you're not paying, then you are the product. And yes, for some people that will be a problem, but for this it's very explicit. It's like, here is some personal information which I'm selling to you in exchange for some money that I can spend in the Android ecosystem. So it might be a useful thing for friends of yours or family of yours who are interested in buying apps but don't really want to spend the money. If they're prepared to make an explicit informed choice about, "I'll give you a bit of my personal information in exchange for money," then that's a much more honest way of doing it. A lot of businesses, I think, do their best to obscure the nature of that transaction. They're collecting data about you and you receive a service in exchange, but it's not an explicit transaction. Whereas with this, you're explicitly making the choice to do that. And I think that's not a bad thing. So Google Option Rewards, it's called. The next thing that I would absolutely recommend that you look into, if you have children, and especially daughters, or friends of yours have children, or especially daughters, around about sort of teenage years, is a book, actual, you know, paper book. It's called The Smart Girl's Guide to Privacy, Practical Tips for Staying Safe. It's by Violet Blue. And it's a really good book. I bought it for my daughter. And it doesn't shy away from... It's not one of these things which tries to wrap your kids in cotton wool and tell them, oh yeah, you shouldn't be looking at stuff on the internet. It recognises the fact that a 16-year-old girl is going to have adult interests. Is going to look... They're going to look at things on the internet that you might be thinking as a parent, huh, you know, got to be quite grown up to deal with that. But it tells them about how to remain safe. It's not remain safe by never talking to anybody, by avoiding sites, by not Googling for this kind of thing. Instead, it's like, okay, here is a grown-up adult approach to how to keep yourself safe on the internet. Tips for this is how to maintain your anonymity. This is the sort of thing you should do. This is the sort of thing you shouldn't do. And it's a really good idea. One of the distinctions between, I think, my generation and my children's generation is that we saw the internet grow, and therefore we remember a world in which you didn't have it. Whereas I think newer generations don't really have that sense of there being a world without apps and the internet and your phone going off the whole time, and therefore they may not be as conscious of the changes and the choices and the compromises that they're making in order to do stuff. And this book is a really good guide to how to keep yourself safe and protected on the internet without taking a very puritanical nannying approach, saying the way you keep yourself safe on the internet is by not participating in any forums, because there might be terrible people out there, right? This is not written by the Conservative government. It's written by someone who knows what she's talking about. It's useful to it would be useful for boys as well as girls, certainly, but it's primarily written for girls, for young women, at least partially because women on the internet have a quite different experience to men, and quite considerably more unpleasant experience than men. And finding a way of dealing with that, being sensible about it, without necessarily repudiating the whole thing, I think is a great idea. It's a really good book, and it's strongly recommended as a present. The final thing I'd recommend, and I'm not too sure about this recommendation, and I'd be interested in people's thoughts about this, I have an Internet of Things socket. A plug socket, so you an adapter. You plug it into the wall, and then you plug things into it, and you can turn it on and off from your phone. Now, this is A, the height of laziness, and I'm not disagreeing with you, and B, it's a terrible Internet of Things thing, and we've been quite scathing about the Internet of Things on Bad Voltage in the past, and rightly so. But I find this quite useful for a couple of reasons. The first one is that I can turn on and off the Chromecast while I'm in bed. Hooray! Which is really, really good, because it means that the Chromecast and the monitor in my bedroom aren't on the whole time, but I don't have to get out of bed to turn them on and off, which is really good. It also turns itself off at 3 a.m. or whatever, which is dead handy. The second thing is that it's not particularly well documented, and their app is not particularly great, but it's all been reverse engineered, so there are open source libraries out there, so you can work with this stuff if you're a programmer. The third thing, and this is a reason why it's not only necessarily a gift for yourself, but also something that you could buy for family who find this convenient, is that what it does is quite well documented, which means that it talks to, it's capable of being controlled locally, over your local LAN, no problem at all. It does not have to bounce off the company's internet server. Now, you can use it that way, and if you want to use it from outside your network, it has to use it that way. But in practice, right, most people don't need that. They want to be able to turn this on while they're in the house. They don't want to be able to turn it on while they're in another country. And the beauty of that is, because how it works is reverse engineered and therefore documented, you can just block a particular UDP port from it on your router. Again, this is not necessarily something that a non-technical person you know would be able to do, but it's something you can do, technical listener. So you could buy this for someone and then spend 5 minutes at their house poking their router to say block UDP connections from this to the internet. And at that point, you know it's not contacting its home server. It's not going to get used as some kind of appalling botnet to DDoS, DIN.DNS. And they've got an Internet of Things socket. So this is not in itself a perfect device. It's not in itself written the way it ought to be, but it can be turned into that with a little bit of technical know-how, and therefore I think it's an interesting thing. The reason I'm not sure about this is that it's entirely possible there is another alternative socket from an alternative vendor which has all those properties but doesn't need you to fuck about with it. And If there are such things, I'd be very interested in hearing people's recommendations. So go to community.badvoltage.org and let us know. The final thing is, we were asked to recommend something that you should not buy, right? Here is the thing you should not buy for Christmas. And Much like a puppy, this recommendation is not just for Christmas, but for the whole year. My recommendation is this: don't buy Uber. Right? Stop travelling with Uber. We've had a big discussion about this on the show in the past. We had a very long thread about it. And I'm prepared to believe that some things are different somewhere in the States and so on and so forth. And I'm prepared to believe they bring benefits and all that kind of thing. But I'd be interested to hear from people. If instead of saying our taxis are all terrible, I'd be interested to hear people actually trying to do this, you know, not 2 years ago, not 3 years ago, but today. Think to yourself, well, Uber's got an app. So install the app for your local taxi firm and try using it. And I'd be interested to hear up-to-date criticisms, because certainly the taxi firms in my city don't do a whole bunch of terrible things that Uber do. And I really do believe this is something where taxi firms are certainly doing their best to keep up. I'm talking about black cab firms here, right? Not mini cabs. Don't use mini cabs. But instead of writing off a taxi firm that you may have tried to use 3 years ago because they never show up and don't answer their phone or whatever, look at what the world is like today and see what you think. So, those are my gifts, my recommendations, my suggestions for things that you buy in between now and Christmas for your friends and family. And it'll be interesting to see what the others recommend as well. This is Stuart Langridge. Have a lovely Christmas. Goodbye.
Hello, everyone. This is Jono. And I'm going to provide my gift suggestions, and like the rest of them, I haven't looked over or listened to the other audio file, so I don't know what the other guys are recommending. But we agreed, you know, to suggest two things and maybe a turkey as well to recommend against, and I'm going to go the extra mile for you. So I'm going to provide a bunch of different recommendations, and hopefully some of these will be useful, because again, I go the extra mile for you lovely listeners, unlike that bunch of layabouts that I spend endless amounts of time on the show with. So the first thing I'm going to recommend is one of those pass-through power line starter kits, you know? So the idea is that you plug one of these things into your wall socket, you stick your cable modem or your router in there, and then you can stick another one of these plugs somewhere else in the house, and the network goes over your power lines. These things are really cool. They're really reliable. You get super fast performance out of it, way better than Wi-Fi. I've tried a few of these, but I really like the TP-Link, obviously toilet paper link, TP-Link TLPA8010P kit. It's pretty well made. It's got a plug built into it as well, so you don't lose a plug, although sometimes it obscures the other plug in the pair that you sometimes get in the wall. But it's really good. Great gift for nerds. Another thing I'd recommend is the Amazon Kindle. These things are fairly cheap these days, really well built, you know, obviously seamlessly integrate with Amazon so you can get books on them. They're just really cool. I love my Kindle. And they've got a bunch of different types of Kindles, but you can get them pretty cheap these days. That's a great gift, particularly for someone who obviously loves reading. The other thing I'd recommend is any of the Rokus. So Rokus, you know, these, essentially it's a digital video thing. That's particularly non-descriptive. But you can get Netflix and Amazon Prime and Crackle and YouTube and all these different pieces on there. Rokus are really cheap. You know, they're really reliable. They don't have the nicest of user experiences in some ways. I mean, they're really clear and simple, but they sometimes feel a bit basic, but they just are super reliable and work really well. My parents have actually got one, so this is a testament to how easy they are to use. And we've got, I think, a Roku 2 or Roku 3. I can't remember which one it is, and love it. It's brilliant. So I'd recommend getting a Roku, particularly if someone's got a slightly older telly and they don't have all the smart TV stuff built into it. And then another thing, this is not so much of a product, but it's a service that's related to TV, is the PlayStation View. This is essentially a cable replacement. I know you can get it in the US. I haven't checked whether you can get it in whatever country you're sat in right now. But you can get the usual services in there, like all the news channels, the entertainment channels. You can even get some of the local channels if you're in certain areas. I really like it. You know, there's clients available for the PlayStation 4, but also the Roku, and I think a bunch of other things as well. And even though we don't watch that much TV, it's just a really nice service, and it's easy to kind of watch, you know, shows after they've aired and stuff like that. So if you want to cut the cord, go and check that out. I actually wrote a blog post about it that you might want to check out. It's handy to kind of get some of the details. I also want to make a few notable mentions for those of you with really fat wallets, and if you want to go out and spend some money on some more expensive things for your friends. If you're one of those people, then I'd like to be friends with you. I'd first of all recommend the Google Pixel phone. I know this is probably unsurprising to you regulars who listen to this show. I love my Google Pixel. It's absolutely brilliant, even though somewhat ironically, I've already cracked the screen. In fact, I cracked the screen about 3 weeks after I got it, because that's just how I tend to do things around here. But the Pixel phone is brilliant, but also the Daydream headset, the VR headset, is just phenomenal. I was really impressed with this. You know, you plonk the phone in there and you get this whole VR experience. It's really good. Very, very impressed with Daydream. Another thing that I'd recommend is the Acer Aspire E15 laptop. This is a budget laptop. I picked mine up for about $500 and change, and it's pretty beefy. It's got I think it's a GeForce 960MX. It's got, I think, 8 gig of RAM. It's got an i5 processor. It's got 256 gig SSD. It's just a really nice machine. It's well made. It's got full HD resolution. It's got backlit keys. Really like it. So if you're after a somewhat more budget laptop, if you don't want to go out and lay down $1,000 on a laptop, then I'd recommend getting the Acer Aspire E15. And on a related note, in terms of hardware, I would also recommend going and getting a PlayStation 4, or if you've got some more cash, get a PlayStation 4 Pro, which is basically a beefier version of the PlayStation 4. It's just a really great console, not just for the games. The PS4 drives most of our entertainment downstairs in our living room. You can get, you know, all the usual kind of TV apps such as Amazon Prime and Hulu and Netflix and all that kind of stuff. Of course, it's a full games console. The games are awesome on the PlayStation. It's just a really great machine. It's dead reliable. It's simple to use. Highly, highly recommended. And then, in terms of the Christmas turkey or the Hanukkah turkey or whichever Kwanzaa turkey, or I always forget the different holidays, whichever turkey you want to point to, the not very good thing to recommend, I actually racked my brains for a while on this because I think I've been quite lucky. I've ended up buying quite a lot of stuff this year, like most people tend to do. You buy various things. And generally, I've done fairly well, which is, I think, a testament to reviews on the internet, much as I malign people who are bored enough to leave a review for a toaster on Amazon.com. I'm impressed that they do so because it means that I don't buy crap toasters. But the one thing that we got, I think it was this year, might have even been last year, that is just crap, is the Heelbee Gobi. This was an Indiegogo campaign for basically a wearable watch that... it's a wearable, like a wearable band that tracks, you know, fitness stuff, but it allegedly can count calories. And from what we could tell, it wasn't particularly reliable. It shipped late. My wife was responsible, Erica, for investing in this particular bag of crap, and it just is not very good. So don't go out and get one of those. But if you've read any of the reviews of it on the internet, you probably wouldn't do that anyway. So there we are. That's it. That's my gift recommendations. I hope this was useful. And if it wasn't, well, go and make your own damn list. And happy Christmas, Hanukkah, and whatever else you celebrate, whether you celebrate something or whether you don't celebrate something. I just hope you're happy and have a good time. Thank you.
Hello there. This is Brian Lunduk, and I have absolutely no idea what choices my fellow co-hosts are going to be making for this amazing holiday geek gift-giving guide selection. But I'm pretty sure it's going to have something to do with home automation, some sort of video streaming service, and maybe a PlayStation 4. Ooh, a drone. I think there's a very good chance one of them will recommend a drone. Here's the thing. If any of them recommended any of those kinds of things, they're friggin' stupid. Here's what I would do. I would go down, and there's a lot of these places all over. I would go down to your local used hardware place. Right in where I live in Portland, Oregon, there's a place called PDX Geek, and it's amazing. I can go in there and find really old hardware. Nah, not that old, like, you know, 10, maybe 15 years old. Laptops, handhelds, desktop PCs, little tiny mini form factor PCs, all sorts of things, new monitors, old monitors, but, you know, new to you. Take one of them, like find a place that has like one of those old Toshiba Libretto netbooks. They're not even netbooks. They're like pre-netbooks. You can get one for maybe like, I don't know, $30-$40 if you can find one at a local used hardware shop. And what it is basically a little handheld clamshell laptop. Wipe out whatever's on there, Throw on FreeDOS, which is a GPL open source DOS, and load it up with a boatload of the best, most classic DOS games you can. The King's Quest and Space Quest games, all the great old role-playing games, Master of Orion 2, Master of Magic, Civilization, the best stuff. And then give that to someone. Even if you have to buy all of those games from good old games, GOG.com, you're out maybe 15, 20 bucks, 60 bucks in total for an amazing retro gaming experience. And if you got kids, you can do the exact same thing. Put on educational DOS games on there for them. Put it the little batch file that loads from the autoexec.bat, which is cool because how often do you actually get to use an autoexec.bat anymore? It's just fun for the retroness of it. Then you get to put together something fun and give it to someone. And then when you give it to them, they're like, wow, you put time and effort into this. And also you're amazing. And this is the most memorable gift of the year. And it was wicked, wicked cheap. So this is what I'm saying. Go do that. Don't spend a bunch of money on some streaming service or a stick that plugs into the back of your TV or a light bulb that knows when you're taking a shit. Just go buy some old hardware. Save the planet a little bit. Don't buy into the you gotta buy brand new crazy stuff hype. Get someone some cool old games for a wicked cheap price. Love the free and open source aspect of it, at least for the operating system, and boom, you're done. There you go.
So there we have it, gift recommendations. We set out to provide, and we provided. Well, mostly. I did get a little peek of Brian's while I was editing the show. So go out, go forth, go prosper, go buy gifts or buy yourself something nice. I don't really have much else to say. It's just me. I'm sat here by myself. Usually we use the outro for kind of rambling on about stuff. And, you know, it's just me. So I haven't really got, anything to say. I know what I could talk about. Maybe I could use this time to share some things that irritate me about the other guys. That's perfect. Perfect kind of moment. Let's start with Stuart Langridge. Because why wouldn't we? I've known Stuart now for about 16 years. We met at a Linux user group meeting in Wolverhampton that I started, and he came bounding in with his face and his voice, and I instantly disliked him from the minute he walked in for multiple different reasons. There are obviously the significant physical, just the physical sadness that you experience when you look at him. The deformities in both shape, form, color, and texture that are present in his body that can be best described as 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag. But then he's just a really horrible human being as well. I mean, you know, the way he treats people. I mean, you hear this like really friendly, fun, engaging, sweet human being on Bad Voltage, but behind the scenes, good grief. I mean, he is just, he's a monster. Do you remember that clip when Christian Bale just lost it on the dude on the set of Batman, I think it was, and just started screaming at this guy because he like entered his visible eye line or something like that? Stuart's basically like that all of the time. It makes running the show really difficult and frustrating and, you know, and I don't know, we just, none of us particularly like him. I mean, I haven't liked him for a long time, but the things that Jeremy says about him, good grief. You know, Jeremy, he's a little fella, but, you know, he's got a big problem with old Ginger over there. So, yeah, that's, yeah, anyway, so, and then the other guys, well, actually, I quite like Jeremy and I quite like Brian, so I haven't really got anything to say. Jeremy is a lot of fun, incredibly insightful. And Brian is just one of the most unique human beings I've ever met, for all the reasons you can imagine. There are not many Brian Lundukes in the world, and I think that's part of the reason why people enjoy listening to him. So, yeah, so that's really, basically, you know, I guess I could add to my turkey list, Stuart Langridge. Don't go out and really listen to him or engage with him. Like, maybe we should start producing a show where we kind of mute his bits out. Yeah. All right, I think that's enough of an intro. We're going to have another show, which is going to come out a couple of weeks from now. Have fun. Go out. bye, prosper, eat, drink, take care of your family, take care of your friends, be good people, and they can out.